Hey, welcome to Rehabilitation Radio. This is a program about starting a digital music workshop in a prison in Kingston, Jamaica. My name is Charlie. I'm a professor at Harvard Law School. My friends in Jamaica call me Prof. I work at a center at Harvard that explores the potential of digital technologies to support learning. We have undertaken to work with Cornerstone Ministries and Reverence for Life on building a digital literacy program in Jamaica's prisons. Our focus is music, tied to computer training and integrated, we hope, with broader programs of rehabilitation. So far, we've made some first steps, setting up a computer lab at South Camp, doing some digital music workshops there with a talented and interested group of inmates, and with assistance from helpful warders and administrators. And we've made several radio programs about the experience that have been broadcast on Roots FM. In the process, we've become working partners in the enterprise with T-Boots and Desmond Green and teammates in the Reverence for Life program. So, hello to all who would like to come along on the adventure of planting and nurturing this little seed of opportunity in Jamaica's prisons. Join me for the next few minutes while I talk with a young man who teaches music at South Camp, Dalton Spencer. Learn with me about how he got started and some of the problems he faces. Here, listen up. Dalton, you teach music in the prisons.
Yes.
Tell me about that. Tell me when you got started. Tell me what sort of music you teach. Tell me how it goes, why you're doing it.
All right. Well, I started out with a little visiting the prison with a small Catholic group once a month. They used to go in and have a church service on a Sunday. You know, when I visited with the group, one of the things that caught my attention was the band. They had a resident band at the prison. I used to like all the, you know, just like the vibes that the guys had, the band had. So when they finished the services and packing up, you know, I used to just shoot some breeze with the guys as the group is packing up to leave and so on. I once shared with them a song I made up at one of the visits, and they liked it, and they were putting on a concert, a special concert at the prison, and they asked me to come and share the song.
What was the song that they liked?
It was a rap song I made up called "Who Is That Man?" You know.
Can you do it?
It was a little rap thing that went, you know, "Hey, everybody, listen up close, let me tell you about someone that is the most. I don't need to brag, I don't need to boast. His reputation is known from coast to coast, because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and all the angels praise him with one accord. He's super hot and super nice. Who is that man?" And everybody said, "Jesus Christ, because out of the belly of a virgin girl comes a man with the mission to save the world, because he can walk through the desert and still be cool, and he can stand up to the enemy and tell him who rules, and he can walk on water and don't even sink, and he can calm the raging storm with a word or a blink. He's bold and courageous, fear not men nor mice. Who is that man?" And it was a Jesus Christ. And it went on like that. It was really, really a fun song.
It sounds and, like a lot of fun. I can see why they liked it.
Yeah, you know, and we just began to jam and share and prepare for concerts and stuff. This was at the General Penitentiary. Some of the guys who are coming out, once they are like a year left of their sentence, which is a long sentence, they would transfer them up to South Camp Road, where the rehabilitation process is a bit better and they have better training facilities. So they transfer them there to get them involved in better rehabilitation activities, and so they are better prepared to go out. So when they transfer the guys up there now, the guys began to mention to the band members there about me, and so they asked the superintendent if I could come up there, right? So I came up there and started to help them plan their music programs and assist some of the guys who might be having a bit of difficulty in the music and so on.
What do you think about teaching music in prison? Is it worth it? Does it make sense?
Yes, it does, you know. It does make sense because, for one, it gives them a sense of focus and it gives them the opportunity to express themselves in a different way. And, you know, and a lot of them have things on the inside that needs to come out, needs to be expressed. And the music, you know, can reach that part and bring it out. You know, they are so much more settled when they have their instrument and they're working with their instrument. And especially when they're trying to learn to play the instrument, then they spend a lot of time just trying to learn it. They are occupied in something very constructive. You know, it really is important. Music is very important in rehabilitation. So I was under the impression that when a guy commits a crime and he gets caught and he goes to prison, he serves his sentence. At the end of the sentence, this guy feels sorry, you know, he's sorry for what he has done, and he is in a position where he would not do it again. What I began to discover when I started going to prison is that the way the prison is set up, it's not doing that. They don't get any better. The way the prison system is set up, they get worse. They come out and they become worse criminals. They come out and they get into worse crimes. Their self-esteem is torn down, and their whole perspective of life is even more. There's a greater hopelessness after they have gone through prison, and they feel like they are no good. They are just criminals. They are no good, and there's no better for them in this life. And so, crime is the only way. And then a lot of them come out not in a position to get a good job or get something that make them gainfully employed. And so, you know, the only way they find to get some money to survive is to get back into crime. Some of them even got in there for petty crimes and come out hardened criminals, just, you know, hardcore criminals and into bigger crimes. So that really struck me, and I began to realize that if I turn my back on something like that, it's going to get worse. So I decided, you know, I would try in my own way to see if I could make a small impression on some of the guys that I meet and have become friends with. So, you know, that was how it started out. One of the things I began to notice too is things would happen. They would get really involved in the music in prison. We'd have a great time and they would become good musicians and they would really love the music and all of that. But once they leave the prison, that's where it stops. There's nothing that will help them to further what they have gathered in the prison. There's nothing that helps them to continue with what they gained. Because, I mean, there isn't much opportunities for music in Jamaica unless you are a known artist, musician or artist, you know, that you can put out a record and you get popular and then you start earning money by performing at shows and your record sell. If that isn't happening, then more than likely there isn't much you're going to gain out of music. A lot of them don't continue.
So what would you do about that, Dalton?
I knew that one of the things that is in demand in our music industry is studio engineers, good studio engineers. If I prepare these guys to be studio engineers, to work in the studio, at least that's something that will make them employable and they can continue with their music along those lines. So they would get some money, they would generate income in music. So just in last year now, Food for the Poor provided a lot of computers to the prison. And this rehabilitation group named Cornerstone Ministries started a lot of teaching programs at South Camp Rehabilitation Center. And a part of the program was a music program. And they came to me and they said that somebody had come by, and I think that was you guys, you, Professor, and somebody else, had come by and had installed a music program and had started up a music thing. And they want me to come in now. And they heard of my desire for some time of trying to prepare these guys musically to generate some income. So they said, come on in and see what you can do with them. So I came in and, you know, I started something. And, You know, it still has its hiccups and so on, but what I really want to do is get them in that, because right now there's a lot of the students are highly computerized and working with a lot of computer programs. So I'm trying to see if I can get them more acquainted with MIDI programs and all that, what MIDI is about, so that when they come out, they can, you know, go to any student and say, listen, because, I mean, at most of our students, you don't have to have a paper or any kind of qualification to work in the studio. All you have to do is be able to do the work. Once you can get in the studio and prove to them that you can do the work, you got the job, and they pay you appropriately.
Yes, we connected with Cornerstone and were able to help out in actually building the computer lab at South Camp and in doing some workshops there. So I'm delighted to see that they've continued, and anything that we can do by way of helping that we can do, we will do.
Yes, I really look forward to that opportunity, you know, because, I mean, at this point, it's almost like I'm on my own in a sense, just in this particular area. So I jump at anybody who can assist in any way.
So Dalton is on his own and would jump at assistance from anyone who would offer it.
Have you ever heard of the Berklee School of Music?
Berklee School of Music, yeah.
It's one of the
best music schools around. I mean, a lot of talented and well-known musicians have passed through it.
It's the biggest music school in the world. And
okay.
It's right here in my hometown here in Boston. And I met with the man that runs Berklee Media, which is the digital, the online part of the school. And he's very interested in what we're doing. And I think that Berklee has a lot potentially to offer by way of books and online lessons. Lessons that can be reduced to CDs and that we can deliver in some way to you.
Yeah, that would be just great, man. That would be just great, let me tell you. That would be just great. I'm sure that will push, you know, my program a far way.
It really does sound like there's things to be done in the future.
Yeah, you know, I really am glad for this encounter. I'm seeing where lots of good things can come out of it.
It just so happens that the Berklee School of Music, the biggest music school in the world, is right here in my hometown, Boston, Massachusetts. I met there with Dave Cusack, who runs all their digital production and distribution. Dave described the range of subjects on which Berklee offers instruction.
We teach at Berklee 360 degrees of the music business. So we'll teach performers, writers, composers, film scoring people, business people, label executives, managers, lawyers, music teachers, music therapists, you name it. If it's in music, we teach it.
We sat in a room packed with computers and monitors, with the noise of the city sometimes filling the background. I told Dave about our project, about building a computer lab at South Camp and engaging inmates in digital music making, about the lack of resources and the need, as Dalton had described it, for training, especially in the processing side of music. I asked him if Berklee had resources that would be useful to inmates learning music at South Camp.
A few years back, we began in earnest to develop a kind of book and video publishing business, where we publish the work of our faculty, kind of like MIT Press or Harvard, same idea. So we publish a lot of books, DVDs, videotapes that reflect, again, the curriculum of Berklee, authored by our faculty. And that's been going now very well for the last 5 years or so, again, distributed all over the world. In the interest of trying to figure out how we could disseminate some of this material and promote our efforts, and also kind of embrace the digital transformation of the music industry in a positive way, we thought, why don't we derive lessons from all of these works that we have and package them up so they could be delivered in digital form. And there could be a chapter from a book, could be a a section from a DVD or a videotape teaching a particular aspect of music. And we created about 150 lessons. We put them on a website that we called berkeleyshares.com. We put a press release up on the wire, and it took off like an absolute rocket. We were interviewed by many, many major publications, radio, television, print. We got enormous traffic to the websites within days. And people began downloading this stuff and trading it and using it in programs like you're describing, traditional music programs, private music programs, augmenting high school and middle school programs as a way of sampling what they might eventually purchase from us or sampling Berkeley to perhaps attend down the road. So it's wildly successful.
So, yes, Berkeley has a wealth of potentially useful resources. Would Berkeley help us?
In terms of what we could do in this environment, we could take our Berkeley Shares content and put it on CD-ROMs. That's easy. We could also take our books and DVDs and donate them to the institution so that they would not only have sort of a taste of things, but they could have the real stuff. Over the years, I've received many, many letters from folks in prison. Can you please send me this book? You know, I'd do anything to get it. Or, you know, can I get a copy of this program? It would change my life. I have 12 hours a day with nothing to do. So I could see the need, and I think it would be great to work with you on it.
All right. A cooperative connection with Berkeley School of Music is full of promise. Resources are available, and there is a willingness to contribute them. But still, we all understand there is a long way between promise and realization. Somehow, rehabilitation programs always face a difficult path. Many people think that improving the lives of men and women in prison makes no sense, inconsistent with the idea that prisoners are in prison to be punished. Other priorities have a way of intruding. But we are hopeful that this program can move ahead and succeed. Music has long been welcome in Jamaica's prisons. Music training is good and fun for its own sake, and learning about computers is a plus for anyone. I want to finish up this program with a segment that captures some of the fun and excitement that music workshops have to offer. Wayne Marshall, our Boston jerk who led our workshops at South Camp, also did workshops at several Kingston high schools. One of them, at Camperdown, was documented by RETV. With thanks to them, here is a bit of it.
Welcome to an RETV exclusive. We're down here at Camperdown High School in the middle of a digital music workshop. My name is Wayne Marshall, to True True, not the DJ, but you know, I come from Boston. I've been living in Jamaica from January now. And one of the things I've been doing down here is running digital music workshops at different schools, community centers, and actually South Camp Prison as well. And Camperdown here has actually been the most successful school in the program, had the strongest core of students, a lot of excitement, and a lot of tough rhythms coming out of here too. So it's been a lot of fun. I started doing digital music workshops in Boston last summer, which is where I come from, and it had some success there. One thing that really struck me actually was how many kids wanted to make reggae rhythms as well as hip-hop rhythms. There was this real crossover going on there.
Should have seen me in my Lamborghini, my skin was smooth and my eyes and dreamy. On RETV, the girl and see me, the guys have all the way.
So I've been using computers to make my own music for about 5 years now, and it was the last year or so that I decided I actually had a skill to share, to use kind of in an educational format and to share with young people especially. So I started doing that up in Boston, and I started to bring the program down to Jamaica in January. And the reason I use this particular program, it's a program called Fruity Loops, and It's a particularly powerful and flexible program, but at the same time, it's also really easy to use. So within 5 minutes, you know, it draws someone right into the process. You're making music, you're making beats that actually sound good to you.
Well, on our fiats, if we know the pain the kids have feel, if you see the struggles we got to, if you get a proper meal, what's the deal? Well, you are the kids, you do rub and you steal. Well, we can't take the sufferation no longer. We are suffering the ghetto, nothing them now do feel quick. See them belly full over one empty. We are suffering over a century when them have the money plenty. Show off them a drive up in a Bentley. If we want a cat, we have to rent it. Weapons are them inventing. For murder, for we murder them intensely. Anything we do is just defensely, but we get pressured immensely.
Usually what I like to do is just show the way that the beats relate to each other. The nice thing about this program is that it allows you to listen as you go, to kind of edit as you go in real time. Basically just use your sense of hearing, your sense of taste to decide what to do. So if I just put a kick drum on the very first beat there and press play, it'll just cycle through. Every time it gets to that point on the grid, it'll play the sound, you know? So I could put a few of them in there. I could add some snares on alternating beats. Might turn it down a little bit. And that just gets me a basic rhythm going. Now, it doesn't sound like the greatest rhythm in the world. One reason that is, it's up at 140 beats per minute, which is pretty fast. That tempo, that's more like a techno tempo, or some soca carnival songs get up that fast. So if I wanted to make this a techno song, I could just add a couple more kick drums. Add some hi-hats, right? And we've got like a basic little techno rhythm, right? What's funny about this is if I move the snares over a little bit, it suddenly becomes soca, you know? Carnival kind of thing, right? And then all I have to do is remove some of these kick drums and slow it down. I'm gonna slow it down to like around 100 beats per minute, which as you can hear, is more like dancehall tempo, right? So suddenly the soca beat becomes a dancehall beat. And you see that. You see how they're related, how it's just a matter of tempo, and just see that transformation right in front of your eyes, you know? The next thing I like to show, actually, is the relationship between hip-hop and dancehall. A lot of people talk these days about the crossover between the two and, you know, how related they are. And in fact, you can see and hear it right here. So if I substitute a kick drum for a snare drum there, you know, we still have that basic dancehall feel, right? Still feels like dancehall. And the basic difference right now between this being a dancehall beat and a hip-hop beat is the placement of the snare. So if I just move this snare over a couple spaces, watch how the whole thing changes up. Right? And I could add a couple more hi-hats. Right? Now it sounds like hip-hop, right? Now if I move the snare over again, it's back to dancehall, right? It just kind of goes back and forth like that. Another thing that a lot of people like is sometimes I just show how profoundly you can change a whole rhythm just by moving one little thing, changing one little thing up. So right now we have this basic hip-hop rhythm again, right? Just kind of 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now if I move the kick drum that's on the 3 just over a little bit, watch how the whole character of it changes up again. See that? Whole thing shifts again, right? And then you could just play around with it. Add beats where you like to hear them. Try and make a kind of pattern that you like. So a lot of times I'll just put together, you know, the grinding beat like that, show how it's just about putting a few extra kick drums in some places, and that's it. You can add a bass line too, right? So say I wanted to add a bass line to this. I just throw the bass in. Maybe I'll match with the kick drums. Right? And then I can hit this keyboard button and actually manipulate the tone, too. So it's not just about rhythm and time, but it's about pitch and tone as well. I have full keyboard for every one of these little boxes on the grid. So I can move them around, you know, program a little bass line, a little melody. You know, just put something together like that. And when you do this in front of a classroom of high school kids, and you do it in 10 minutes or so, they're hooked.
Me and him, we're currently, along with some other person, building a studio called Higher Level Recording Studio off Gardentown Road. And we have the Fruit to Loose program there, and sometimes in our spare time, we just go there and build with him. And, you know, me and him as DJ songs, and, you know, from, you know, it's just the love for the music, because from I was a baby, you know, I just love music.
Tell me, is there a difference when the police kill a man or when the bad man kill someone? Isn't the same blood that's spilling? Is there a difference with the gun that the bad men have and the one police use during their killing? Nobody tell me, say one license to kill, cause blood no license to spill. So help me if you're willing, cause cup of life gets empty, yo. While the cup of dead people keep filling, now ain't the time to sit back and kick back and chit chat and flip flop with Miss Mac while machine goes click clack, yo. Shot bust and man drop man from top come with strap with big locks. Too many bloodshed. Sit back and kick back and chit chat and flip flop with Miss Mac while machine goes click clack, yo. Shot bust and man drop man from top come with strap with big locks. Too many bloodshed. Will there ever be a time? We live without crime. Love is at its maximum and we live in peace. Love reads skyline, no more man dying by the hands of bad man or by the police. Everyone just leave up all the guns, them give up. Crime and violence get a ease. Since you want to live forever, you want begging your world to give up the guns, then please. Don't sit back and kick back and chit chat.
They want to be on that computer, they want to be building rhythms, and you know, that's one thing that's happened here. That's the exciting thing. That's what we're here to show you today, is some of the rhythms that have come out of Camperdown in the last 3 months. I've been coming here once a week on Wednesday afternoons, sometimes twice a week. I was here for Tuesdays, too, for a while. And we've got a nice core of students, some tough new producers coming out of Camperdown now.
Basically, from starting the rhythm, as Wayne said, we start with like a baseline for the rhythm. So we just do a baseline and then think of what we could put in and it would actually sound good. So we do this on one grid and then we switch and go to our next one and then add something else that would at least enhance the rhythm. We continue this for various patterns up to about 6 or so and then add everything. After we do that, we compile everything in the format of a song.
Down in the ghetto, find guns are black and we're chrome in the ghetto. Most people don't own no home in the ghetto. We're ugly dogs and dopey and children. We're dirty with poor people roam in the ghetto. Enough man die just for fame in the ghetto. Politicians lie mainly aim for the ghetto. People are dying, vain copper fall like rain. Man kill to make them name in the ghetto. When we live violences and we live in peace and love, increase in the ghetto. Still burning the beast, blazing Charlie, eating sardines in the ghetto. Some of them cry, some lie, some live, some die, have enough drive-bys in the ghetto. Some of them.
You see, actually, when I make my rhythms, I don't really go out there like say, I'm gonna make a rap rhythm this time, I'm gonna make a reggae rhythm. So I just build a rhythm according to my mood. You understand?
My rhythm is a techno rhythm, because the club scene, love clubs, so I'm doing to build a techno rhythm, so you have to see with me. This is one where Wayne helped me build it because it was kind of shabby, so he kind of instruct me and teach me and show me more about it.
Basically, what I'm doing here today, my friend Candice introduced me to this, and I really liked it because I get to make rhythm on myself and DJ on them.
Don't sit back and kick back and chit chat and flip flop with Miss Mac while machine goes click clack, yo. Shot bust and man drop man from top come with strap with big clacks. Too many bloodshed.
I'm a jiggy person, so you'll find me moving up and down. So basically what I was doing, I was shaking up, so I found something that was like hip-hop mixed with reggae-like.
The workshop has been going on for 3 months now. And since 3 months, I can certainly tell you I've learned a lot. Once more again, I'd like to thank Harry TV for the look of exposure, you know. Don't know, don't watch me, watch yourself.
That's it for Rehabilitation Radio this week. Thanks to Ben Walker, who has produced this program, to Wayne Marshall, who contributed his segment from Camperdown, and to RETV, to Dalton Spencer, and to Dave Cusack. Until next time, this is Charlie Nesson. You can call me Prof.